We are going to start today a series on creation evolution, obviously. It's going to run about 8 to 9 weeks, and I promise you will not get boring. And every week you're going to have questions. Some of y'all's toes are going to get stepped on. And I'm going to say some stuff purposely in a way to make you push you some way. You'll understand what I mean in a minute. Every week we're going to have questions posted on the internet. So if you have questions, you can email us and we'll put the answers on the internet. Every week in every service, we're going to have people at tables outside who you can go to right after the service and ask them questions. Okay? Every week we're going to have the CD from the sermon. Get the CD. Please get the CD and listen to it again. Okay? Share it with your friends. The line that's in the sand about who believes in evolution and who believes in creation is very clear. When I say clear, it's definite. People definitely believe. A lot of people believe in one or the other, and they think the other side is crazy. This is a big issue, whether you realize it or not. And there's some of the stuff that y'all believe as Christians that's wrong. It's unbiblical. And you think it's innocently that you believe it, but you're going to realize throughout the weeks, and a lot of it today, that some of the stuff you believe, you are going to be challenged to not believe, okay? And so I'm very excited. What else I got to say? We have books also in the bookstore. There's about 6 or 7 books that if you want to read up on some of the stuff. This topic and subject is endless. There's no way we're going to deal with everything. There's no way. I don't even know everything. I don't know if anyone knows everything about creation evolution. So that's why I got my brothers outside. Actually, my brothers outside are part of a study group that we have for this series, and we are called the Geek Club, okay? And it's not to criticize anybody, but that's just a cool name that we feel is cool based on our intelligence level. Actually, it's their intelligence. I'm just part of the club, and I just wanted to be a geek, so I always wanted to be a little brainiac kid. Never was all my life, but now I'm proud to be. I got my glasses, and I got to get the little bifocal glasses like this and wear them like that, you know what I'm saying? But I have never, ever been so excited. I think in addition to being excited about the series itself, I haven't been here in 3 weeks. I have all this stored up adrenaline that I think I used it up on 8:30 service. They never heard me yell so much. But I want to pray because the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and the Holy Spirit is going to open your mind up to if what I'm saying is true or not. I mean, it's true, but he's going to help you understand it. It's not that I'm saying, it's what the Bible says. But the Holy Spirit is going to open your eyes up to see what God has made in a different way. Because you've been taught to see it one way, and I'm going to tell you, you've been taught wrong. Some of the stuff San Diego State is teaching you, UCSD, USD, all the high schools and elementary schools, a lot of stuff they're telling you is a lie. Now, they're not necessarily saying, let's lie to our kids, but they've been misinformed. It's just, it's untrue, however, wherever it comes from, it's untrue. The title of the series is called Who's Your Daddy? Who's Your Daddy? That's right. Who's Your Daddy? Now, your daddy can be Jesus, or your daddy can be an ape down in Africa somewhere. Or if you're white, your ape comes from Europe. Or if you're Chinese, your ape comes from China. Whatever you want to call it, I don't know. You got a Filipino ape, you got a, Australian ape, whatever you want to believe. But all that stuff is crazy, okay? We're going to pray, and I want you to pray that God would open up your eyes. And if you are someone who believes in evolution, or if you're a theistic evolutionist and you believe in God and evolution at the same time, you're going to be challenged today that you can't believe that. Now, I've been told not to say that, but I want to say that anyway. And it'll be based on the definition of evolution I give, maybe some kind of evolution. But you're going to have to decide whether you believe in God and the Bible or not. So let's all pray and let's get to it. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the ability to speak and listen, to think and reason, to decide, to contemplate. We thank you for the ability to make a decision. We thank you for the ability to process information. an ability you gave us, an ability you created. Lord, I pray you open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may understand what your word says, who we are, where we're going, where we came from, and who did it all. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, open up to Romans chapter 1. It's on, baby. It's on. Who's the man this morning?
Jesus.
Matter of fact, I forgot to do this. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Lesson plan. All right. Good, good. I'm so happy to be home. Thank you for all your cards and emails about my grandma. My grandmother was 91, and she was amazing. She went to more football games than any man in this room. Trust me. Trust me. She was there. All her sons, my brothers and I, 20 years of playing, she went to games all over the country. And it was a great thing because whenever we played, we always looked up to see if our parents was there and grandma. Grandma was always with a little hat on or whatever team we were on, and she had a little hat on. And so at her funeral, which I tried to officiate, but I really couldn't do a good job. The one thing about her, she was that compared to the Lord, is that she was always there. She wasn't, you know, pushy woman, but she was just always there. And I never realized how important it is for us sometimes to just be there for somebody. You know, and you don't have to say a lot, you don't have to give a lot, but just be there. And so that was Grandma Dorothy. Let me go over a few of the topics we're going to talk about this series. One, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 24-hour periods. Some of y'all believe that it happened in 6 ages or eons, in 6 million years. We will address that. Okay, it's a day-age theory, that each day in the Bible meant an age. We will address that in a couple weeks. Some believe that between verse 1, where God created light, and verse 2, when he started creating something, there was a gap of millions of years. We will deal with that. Macroevolution versus microevolution. Microevolution is there's variation in kinds, different kinds of people. Macroevolution is that a monkey became a man. Okay? We're going to deal with all that. Biotic evolution is the beginning of life. The Big Bang Theory, we'll talk about that. Darwinism, natural selection. Punctuated equilibrium, which is a new theory. Now they realize Darwinism doesn't work. Okay? Intelligent design, irreducible complexity, carbon 14 dating, all that kind of stuff. So we'll deal with a lot of that stuff. You're going to have questions because I'm going to say some stuff today that you're going to go, what about this? Well, just keep coming back. I'll eventually get to it. And if I don't, email us a question and we'll answer it. We want to answer your questions. The Holy Spirit eventually is going to be the one to open up your heart to believe the word. Okay, you don't have to believe Miles. Please don't agree with me. I am trying to challenge you to believe God and help you understand what God says. That's my job. My job is not to win arguments so I can win an argument. My job is to present the case that God has presented and encourage you to believe God. That's it. Okay, Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 18. Says, oh, and by the way, we're going to go, it's about 8 or 9 weeks, today's message is called Evolution, Creation, Evolution, Creation, Religion. It's a religion. The series is called Who's Your Daddy? But we're going to do today, talking about evolution as a religion, and then the next 6 weeks after this, we're going to go through every day of creation and talk about what God made that day. What evolutionists say about what happened about that day, what the Bible says. Okay, so we'll go every day. And believe me, we talk about light, we're going to talk about the water, we're going to talk about the birds, we're going to talk about the fish, we're going to talk about man, we're going to talk about the bugs, we're going to talk about the stars in the heaven, and is the gospel in the stars? Ooh, baby Bubba, it's going to get on. Oh, God made some stuff. And we're going to talk about every single thing that God did and show you, and literally, trust me, if you're fair, if you're not unbiased, if you're not biased, just I don't want to hear about God, you will see clearly that God did it. Based on this verse right here. Watch this. Verse 18. For the wrath of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Everyone say suppress the truth. Suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Look at this verse, verse 20. This is the verse. You want to memorize this. For since the creation, everyone say creation.
Creation.
For since the creation of the world, it can't get any clearer than that. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his love, his organizational capabilities, his wisdom, his intelligence, his power, those are invisible attributes. His invisible attributes are clearly, clearly, plainly, a child can understand it, seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, so that they are without excuse. Who are they? People who don't want to believe it. In other words, you know what this verse says? Ever since God made all the stuff that he made, his invisible attributes, his wisdom, his power, well, look at some, are so clearly seen, duh, that you are without excuse. Period. Period. Now, there's two things in this passage I want to acknowledge. One is that, look at verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. One, men suppress the truth. Okay, if you look at your lesson plan, let me read some definitions. One, let's look at evolution first. It says evolution is a theory, in that space, right, theory. A theory attempting to explain the nature of our origins and existence outside the intervention of a personal, intelligent God. Let me say it, read it, explain it five times. When you go to San Diego State, when you go to Valhalla High School, Miriam Scripps High School, wherever you go, and they say evolution, what they are telling you is this. There is no God that did this. It all happened by natural process. There is no God that did this. Science and religion are separate. That's what they want you to believe. But here's what they're doing. They're taking God out. That is religion in and of itself. That's atheism. There is no God in religion, in science. So everything that exists happened naturally without the intervention of a God. That is evolution. How could you say, I believe in Christ as my Savior, I believe in the Almighty God, and then at the same time, say, he had nothing to do with all of this. How can you believe that? You have to think about what you say you believe. And what evolution is that they want to look at the evidence and suppress the evidence, and we'll get into that, and say, there is no designer in what we see. There is no intelligent person or entity behind it. It happened by accident, random choice, chaos to order with no orderer. Are you hearing me? That's evolution. And what this verse says is that these men in unrighteousness, and I'm not saying your teachers are the unrighteous, evil, wicked people, but they're telling you an unrighteous, evil, wicked message. That they suppress the truth, and that's evolution. Now look what the verse says, and keep your lesson plan. I'll read verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen by what he made, even his eternal power. Creation, on the other hand, in your lesson plan, creation is the explanation of our origins and purpose based on God's word. This is absolutely religion. In other words, we, as a Christian, and some of you may refer to yourself as theistic evolutionists. You believe in God and evolution, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. We as creationists, and a matter of fact, in your lesson plan, a young earth creationist is one who believes in a literal 24-hour period and that the earth is 6 to 10,000 years old. Yes, I believe that. 24-hour periods, six of them, and the earth is young. Absolutely. We'll talk about that. Okay? And the evidence is there. Now, look in your lesson plan at the definition of science. Science is the practice of gaining knowledge through through observation and experimentation. As a scientist, I have a theory, I have an experiment, and I can perform an experiment to prove or disprove my theory. Example, I think water boils at 100 degrees. What I can do is I can put water in a pot, put a thermometer, and measure the temperature, boil it up, no salt in the water, because salt will alter the boiling point of water. 100 degrees, boom, it boils. I can put salt in it, now it boils at a different temperature. Same thing with water freezing. Water freezes at 32 degrees, I can put salt in it, freezes at a different temperature. That's an experiment, I can see that. You go on a date. Go on a date without a Tic Tac, see what happens. Go on a date with a Tic Tac, see what happens. Basic science. Can I get an amen, ladies? Can I get an amen, some fellas? You know, some girls got some bad breath too, you know what I'm saying? I ain't want to gossip, you know what I'm saying? But look what it says in verse 20. Verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, His, God, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that you are without excuse. That means if you study and observe and perform experiments on what God made, His invisible attributes are clear. It's clear. Let me list some of them to you. His wisdom. Write down Romans 11:33. You can write these verses down somewhere on your lesson plan. God's invisible attributes. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You know what that says? That God's wisdom, His knowledge is infinite. Your wisdom, my wisdom combined, whooshed around in a pot, cooked up, spiced up, multiplied by a million, couldn't come close to the wisdom of God. It's past finding out. It's past finding out. Hopefully, this series is going to stir you up to consider things to help you realize how much you don't even know. One of the reasons of education, one of the results of education, is the education and to help you realize how much you don't even know. Matter of fact, if you took a class on biochemistry, if you're not a science buff and you hadn't had chemistry or something before that, the only thing that biochemistry class would teach you, it would show you all the stuff you don't know. It would show you all the stuff you don't even want to try to figure out because it's so complicated. That's all it would do. Teach you about hemoglobin, how oxygen flows from a blood cell from the lungs, through the alveolar sac, into the blood, through your body, into a cell, how the oxygen is used as energy. Oh, you don't even know that even happens. And when you see all that, you go, oh my gosh, God knows more than I even knew there could be known. God's invisible attributes, his limitless in his power and his wisdom. Job 11:7, can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? His greatness is unsearchable. Psalm 145:3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. He's all powerful. Deuteronomy 3:24, oh Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? Revelation 19:6, on his all powerfulness. I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God is omnipotent, reigns, omnipotent, all-powerful. The Bible talks all about his invisible attributes. We ain't going to talk about his love, his organizational skills. He put the stars in the heavens. He put the sun 93 million miles away. If it was a little closer, because it's so hot, we burn up. If it was a little further away, we freeze. He says, it's got to be right there. He put the fish in the water and not on land. He put the land animals on land, not in the water. He put some animals that could do both. He gave them the ability to live in both. He put people over here in this part of on the land and gave them certain abilities to survive, certain wisdom to survive, an ability to communicate with him so they can rule under his authority. He hooked it all up. He put plants on the land that can process the CO2 that comes out of our mouth, and put plants in the water that can process the same carbon dioxide and to make oxygen so we can breathe. He hooked it all up. He hooked it all up. He's organized. He's coordinated. He strategizes. He's loving. He's creative. He said, I'm going to make a tiger. Orange lines. Big old teeth. Give him a tail so when he runs, he can balance his body. Make a cheetah, put spots on him so he can hide in the grass when he's hunting the animals. And I'm going to put claws on the cheetah right here so when he's running 70 miles an hour, he can cut. Pow! He's a bad, oh, he's a man. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1.
Well, I think that pastor's wrong. I think all that stuff happened by accident.
Okay. We'll get to you in a minute. And please, if you get your toes stepped on or you feel uncomfortable, please come back. Because we want to do it again. I mean, after a while, it starts to feel good because you realize it's God just nudging you. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. Everybody say Word.
Word.
Everyone say Logos. That's the real word that was used for word. And what that means is the expression of God, the reasoning of God, God's answer, the intent of his heart. In the beginning was God's reasoning, his expression, his word, okay? His intent, his motive. These are limited words to describe what the word was, but you get the picture. In the beginning was God's expression, and God's expression, his intent, his reasoning, his mind, his answer to everything was with God. And the Word, the Logos, was God. Are you with me? The Logos was God. Watch this. The Logos was with God in the beginning. Now watch this. Through the Logos, all things were made. And without the Logos, nothing was made that has been made. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three individual entities that make up one entity, and they all have all the characteristics of each other. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about a dual nature next week. Please come. It'll blow your mind. Because God made something that has those characteristics that you interact with every day of your life, and it's deep. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos was with God, the Word was God. The Bible says in verse 14, the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. His name was?
Jesus.
Now watch this. If you look in your lesson plan, Logos, the Word, the answer, rational principle through which everything that was made has been made, John 1, 1. If you look at the word biology, ecology, neurology, psychology, astrology, the last few words of that, those words are ology or logos, the answer. What that means is that biology is the answer of life. When you study biology or you study life, you find God's fingerprint on it because he's the one who made it. So it's the logos of life, the logos of the stars, the logos of your neurological system, the logos of your digestive system, the logos of your mind. That's what those things are. What evolutionists want to do is they want to say, they want to take the God, the Logos, out. They want to put their fingerprint on it. In other words, they're going to say, oh, we're going to study the stars and the origin of the stars. They call it astrology. But you know what? Or cosmology. We're going to look at that and we're going to go, you know what? That Logos part is not this Logos. It's not God. It's just a word. We're going to say that that made itself because there is no God. They want to take God out. That's atheism. That's a religion. It's not scientific. Science, if you study science and you study things, it will reveal to you the invisible attributes of God. The Bible says right there that through the Logos, everything that was made has been made, and without him, nothing was made. In other words, nothing exists without him. That's what it says. Now, how are we going to see these invisible attributes? I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes about two ways, and these two ways we're going to see his invisible attributes very clearly are going to be come more evident to you every week we look at them. And this is what I really hope you understand, and I really hope you begin to use these two concepts as a filter to look at everything that exists: the plants, the grass, the dirt, the air, the light, the water, the fish, the birds, the roaches. I like roaches. I don't like them in my house, but they're very resilient, amazing creatures that God made. Rats, same way. When you look at all that and you learn about it, you go, wow, these two concepts. One concept, right in your lesson plan, is intelligent design. Intelligent design states that the evidence in creation supports the theory of an intelligent creator and directly opposes the evolutionary view of random chaos. Intelligent design says when you look at something and it is obvious that somebody with an intelligent, with information, made it. There are two ways of acknowledging intelligent design. If you look at your lesson plan, it says a combination of recognizable patterns and illogical association. And an example would be if you want to write in that space on your piece of paper that an intelligent designer provided for you to put on there because he knew that you were going to have to write something there. It's not an accident. You missed that, but that was write in that space a wristwatch on the beach. A wristwatch on the beach. Let me explain to you. If you and I are walking on the beach in La Jolla, and you saw a watch, $29.95 Casio digital watch, black band, you can do stopwatch, you can do alarm, change your alarm, whoop, whoop, whoop. You had time in different countries. You can do a stopwatch up from 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or a stopwatch or a time run down. You can even take your pulse on this watch. Are you with me? And you and I are walking on the beach. We saw this watch. Oh, a product of millions of years of random evolution, natural selection, and chaos to complexity. Let's observe. Notice the black band. Notice the words Casio. Notice the digital numbers that go up and down and have a sound. And you can actually program them. Wow. What amazing. It figured it all self out. I wonder how it did that. Well, billions and billions of years of experimentation that this watch did on itself. It's a combination of the seawater and the seagulls and the fish and the sand and just dust flying around and eons of sunlight and dinosaurs over this, and it came all together over millions and trillions. And because the watch knew you would need time one day and a stopwatch, it just created itself. That is evolution. Because, and you may say, you're simplifying everything. Yes, because I'm very simple-minded, and it's all very simple. Look at your lesson plan. Evolution, the second definition, is a theory attempting to explain the nature of our origins and existence outside the intervention of a personal, intelligent God or creator or designer. Happened by chance. Happened over time. Now you may be sitting there going, that cannot be what they mean. That is what they mean. Science is science. Matter of fact, if you go into colleges today and even read the definition of a science, they will add in that science is the practice of gaining knowledge through observation and experimentation based on naturalistic law. They add that in there. What does that mean? What they mean is the practice of gaining knowledge through observation and experimentation without considering any intervention of God. That's what that means. That is exactly what that means. Because if you go to class and say, wait a minute, what about God? Oh, God does not exist in this. They will tell you that. They're not going to sugarcoat it. They're not going to sugarcoat it. There was no God who did all this. It happened by chance. It happened over millions of years. That is what evolution is trying to tell you. Now, you may say, I'm a theistic evolutionist. What does that mean? You believe in God and evolution. So you believe that God is all that in a bag of chips, but he didn't do all what he said he did. That even though he said he did it, he really meant something else. Two reasons why people believe that. There's probably 5 or 10. I'll give you 2. One, you are scared to be at odds with the world. You want your cake and eat it too. You want to be in with the Christians. I'm theistic. But you want to be in with the non-Christians. Oh, I believe in evolution. You can't do that. Make a decision. The other reason why people believe that is because, and this is probably the most scariest reason, if this is you. You may not believe it for either one of these reasons, but think about it. You kind of doubt that God can really do what he said. Oh, he couldn't have done it in 6 days. So maybe he could have done it in 6 billion years. Ooh, be careful. Don't tell God what he can't do. Ooh. Evolution is man-made theory. It's not biblical. It's a man-made theory. Okay? Now, the other is, that is intelligent design. If you look at anything, you know, it's amazing. If I was walking on the beach with you and I saw this watch, how long would it take me to convince you? Think about this. How long would it take me to convince you that that watch is a product of no designer? An hour? Oh, no, this watch, it just made itself. Would you believe me? If we went to Mount Rushmore, you know what Mount Rushmore is? It's got the president's faces in the mountain. Okay, it's a recognizable pattern in an illogical place. And I said to you, look at the lightning. It hit the mountain. And the birds made their nest in such a way it made these 4 guys' faces. Would you believe that? No. Man, somebody went up there who knows those presidents, and they etched it in the stone. That's evidence of an intelligent designer. When what God is saying, what the Bible is saying, is that when you look at what God made, your eye, your hand, the trees, the fish, it is obvious that someone thought out how they had to work. Isn't that plain to you? Did you know? I mean, think about this. And I hope when you go and see a tree next time, you ever wonder how the water gets to the leaves at the top of the tree? Well, it rains on them. No. It rains in San Diego. Oh, yeah, it rained the other day. But it hasn't rained all summer. How does the water get to the top? You ever wonder that? I'm not even going to tell you because I'll wait till we get to that day. There is a specific mechanism in the tree that takes the water all the way up. Without it, the tree is dead. Okay, intelligent design. The other concept that's going to help you understand the invisible attributes of God, look in your lesson plan, irreducible complexity. Everyone say irreducible. So that's ear and then reducible. Reducible. Ear, reducible. Like a little ear, little reducible ear. Irreducible complexity. Everyone say it one more time. Irreducible. Complexity. Let's read a definition. It says a set of parts that work together to perform a function in such a way that if one part was removed, the function could not be performed. Give you an example. You have a car. Take all the tires off the car. It can't drive. Let me give you a better one. Mousetrap. Mousetrap has 5 pieces, parts. If you take any one of the parts away from the mousetrap does not work. You have a mousetrap. You take any one of the 5 pieces of the mousetrap away, the mousetrap does not work. It's irreducibly complex. Can't be any less complex or it doesn't work. If you have 4 fifths of a mousetrap, you will not catch 4 fifths of a mouse. If you have half a mousetrap, you don't catch half a mouse. You catch no mouse. Are you with me? There are many evidences of and countless in your own body that if it was less complex, it doesn't work at all. And if it doesn't work at all, natural selection has nothing to select. The evidence shows that everything that's here was here fully formed. And we're going to see that. When we talk about the fossil record, I know some of you are saying, well, the fossil record says this. We'll see what the fossil record says. The evidence says that things are irreducibly complex. In other words, the evidence says that the only form that was ever in is the form that it's in, because if it was in any lesser form, it wouldn't even exist. It wouldn't exist to the point where it could evolve to be that. That's what the evidence says. And we're going to see that day in and day out. Day in and day out. They mentioned the bats. Bats make up 1/4 of all the mammals on the earth. Bat. When a bat is flying through the air, the bat sends out these sounds. Echolocation. Sends out a sound. The sound bounces on trees, buildings, cars, whatever's around, and comes back to the bat. The bat hears it, and its brain makes a picture so he knows where he's flying. That's crazy. Would you agree that that's amazing? Yes or no? Okay, so here's this bat. He's flying around, and he's hearing all these sounds. That's what a bat does, okay? I did my own scientific experiment with a bat. I threw a rock up and wanted to see if the bat would eat it, because the bats were eating these bugs where I was. It was at my grandma's house. They're upstate in the mountains, and we had the floodlight on. All these bugs were flying, and there's like 50 bats flying around eating these bugs. So we threw a rock to see if the bat would think it was. So the bat flew with the rock, and this is amazing. When the echolocation came back, when they thought echolocation, if it hits a moth, because the moth's wings are flapping, the rebound location will be distorted because it hits the wings that are moving. Are you with me? So if it hit a wall, it would be bam. But if it hit a wing, it would go because the wing is moving up and down. It would hit it at different places, and it would come back distorted, and it would know it was alive. So when I threw the rock up, it hit the rock and came right back because the rock was solid, and it turned away. Now watch this. The bat sends out the signal, bam! It goes out and comes back at a very lower volume. So it goes, bam, bam, bam. That's the echolocation going out. And when it comes back, it's bam, bam, bam. Because it goes out, bounces, and then diminishes in volume and comes back. Well, its ears are so sensitive, he's listening for the rebound bounce. So he's like this. But the rebound bounce is so soft, much softer than the original sound, that if he was listening real carefully and heard the original sound, it would blow his ear out. Are you with me? So what the bat has, and what the bat evolved over millions of years, is this little muscle in its ear that every time he sends echolocation out, it closes his ear so he doesn't blow his ear out. Then it opens it up to listen. Closes his ear. Opens it up. Ooh. And the bat can distinguish between other bat sounds. Got all these bats going, ee. He can only hear his sound. I mean, he hears it, but he can distinguish his sound. Now, here's what the evolutionists want you to believe. That millions of years ago, after practicing, watch this, that it was practicing with no sound. It was just trying to see in the dark. And then because it realized it couldn't see, it had to develop this echolocation. Ah, 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 ah. And then millions of years after evolving, it was like, ah, ah, I think I got it. Ah, ah. And so after millions of years of starving, eating rocks, running into the side of the cave, here we have a bat. It gets even worse than that. Now, I don't know that they would make this direct comparison, but you'll know what I mean. Macroevolution says that one day there was a roach, and this roach ran out of food on the ground and decided to fly at night. this is the bat. And he evolved after billions of years and became this bat. That's what they'll say. That's macroevolution. That is ridiculous. And let me say this, and we'll talk about the fossil record. Some of you might disagree with this next statement, but there's no evidence, none, of anything between the roach and the bat. No, they say, and they might not say the roach went to the bat, but just an example. They say the roach evolved into the bat. Well, if he did, where's the stages in between of what it was before it was a bat? There was none of that evidence for any animal. Where's that?
Well, we're still looking.
Let me tell you where it's at. It never existed. It's just like what God said.
Well, there is no God. We cannot accept that.
That's religion, my friends. Evolution is a religion. It is anti-God. It suppresses the truth. Matter of fact, one of the truths they suppress of many is the law of entropy. The law of entropy says it's a second law of thermodynamics. It's a very simple law that all of you can understand very simply. Matter of fact, I think it's in your lesson plan. Says, yes, because a designer, someone who understood what was going to happen today, wrote down on your notes what you would have. It didn't just happen to be on your paper by accident. Second law of thermodynamics states that over time, the degree of chaos and randomness of both living and non-living thing increases. In other words, over time, if you left this piece of paper on the desk and sat it there, the molecules and atoms of this paper would go away from each other and the paper would fall apart. Over time, a home will fall apart. A house, a car will rust and fall apart. Your skin will wrinkle and you will bend over and die. Over time, everything falls apart. That is observable. It's a fact. Unless somebody comes in and organizes and energizes specifically something in a controlled environment, God. What they say is, well, all of life that you see is a product of the opposite of the entropy law. In other words, your existence, the existence of everything here, is a product of the opposite process, that something from chaos went to order with no one there to order it. That is backwards. That is not scientific. That's like putting 3 to 5-year-old kids in a room. Putting a bowl of whipped cream, a bowl of eggs, a bowl of flour, some water, some milk, some baked cake. I don't know how to make a cake. What do you got? I don't know. All the stuff to make a cake. And you said to these kids, go at it. And no adult supervision. And at the end of 3 hours or 5 days or 5 million years, whatever, you would have a wedding cake. That's never, ever, ever going to happen. Evolution assumes that God did not supernaturally create. Evolution is grounded on a naturalistic philosophy, which is fundamentally at odds with Christian theism. Evolution is a random process. But the Bible says that God foreknew you before the creation of the world. Evolution does not provide a predetermined purpose for your life. Evolution says you are nothing but an accident. If you are an accident, your logic, your brain's an accident, your logic is an accident, how could you ever believe anything you think? Why should I ever listen to you? Why should you listen to me if we're nothing but an accident? Look at your lesson plan, the very end. We'll end with these three things. Evolution is a religion that suppresses the evidence of God because the scientific evidence supports more creation than evolution. It is a religion that suppresses the evidence of God as creator in order to many things, but I'll give you three. One, deny the existence of absolute truth. The word, absolute truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It also resists the authority of God as creator. There is no God, and I don't got to listen to him. Because let me tell you something. Once you acknowledge a creator, you acknowledge God. And you know you can't talk about God in school.
You know you can't talk about God. You know you can't push God on people, so let's take God out. Let's be fair. Oh, no, no. It ain't about being fair. It's about being right. God's not fair. He's right. He's more than fair. And so evolution gives me the opportunity to say there's no God. That's what it's all about, my friends. That's what it's all about. Don't get sucked into this, well, I want to, you know, fit in. No, you have to decide when you say Christ your Savior, you are not going to fit in. Christ is a stumbling block. They killed him. They killed him. So if you say I'm a Christian, no, people are going to not like you. You are going to stick out. If you don't want that, don't say you're a Christian. But don't try to be both. You can't be both. You're hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. God will spit you out. So these guys say, listen, we'll believe in evolution because, you know what, I don't want there to be. If I accept a creator, man, then that means I got to accept that I was created. That means I got to be submitted to somebody. Look at the third thing. They want to deny accountability to God, the creator. I don't want to be accountable to the Bible. I don't want to be accountable to your rules. You know, I want to have sex whenever I want to have sex. I want to hurt somebody if I want to hurt somebody. As a matter of fact, I want to kill somebody, and I just get a good lawyer and get off. Is all that tied in? Yeah, because all this is from the devil. It's all spiritual. And that's what you have to understand. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities of darkness and powers, principalities of darkness. It's the devil. It's spiritual. And when you go to school, understand that the devil is manipulating the educational system. He's manipulating our economic system. He is bringing the world down. Am I going crazy? Read the Bible. That whole every day you see over there with Israel and the Palestinians and the Jews, it's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. The decision you have to make is, do I believe that God created me or not? Do I believe that what the Bible says is true or not? Do I believe that God had a plan for my life? Let me read a verse to you and we'll end with this. Don't tune me out yet. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Listen to this. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Before God made the world, he knew you. Had a plan for your life. He formed you in the womb. Did you know that when every woman is born, she has 400 eggs and one is released every month? God's plan. And he knows which one of those eggs is going to hook up with a sperm and become you. That's deep. That means there was a bunch of million little dudes trying to be you. And only one made it. And that egg was sitting there, come on, baby, come on now. Here I am, look at me, I'm looking all good. Swim, baby, swim. And that egg was sitting there. And you know what's amazing? And I don't want to get ahead of myself because you'll forget it by the time I get to week six. But when one sperm goes in the egg, listen to this. This is intelligent, amazing. A chemical reaction goes off in the egg to prevent any more sperm from getting in. Oh, thank you, brother. the egg goes, I got my man. Back off, y'all, I got my man. Now, every now and then, the egg gets greedy and gets two or three and they have twins and triplets. Okay. Before, when you were microscopic, zygote is a fertilized egg. When you were zygote, in your mom, before your mom even knew you were there, because she hadn't had a pregnancy test yet, God said, that's Miles right there. That's John. That's Jim. That's Elijah. That's Jeremiah. I got a whole plan. Evolution says, oh, and that's a little fish. And you'll just go through your evolutionary process in the womb, and you know, it's nothing but flesh. It's not a human. You can't believe in both. God says, oh, I got a plan. Bible says, I'm going to form you in the womb. I'm going to knit you. Bible says, I'm going to knit you together.
I'm going to give you toes. I'm going to give you knees. I'm going to give you skin. I'm going to give you eyes. You're going to suck your thumb in the womb. Your heart's going to beat. You're going to roll around. You can respond to your daddy's voice, your mama's voice. You're going to have a little cord that comes out of your belly, connect to your mom. And you're going to get nutrients that way. I made it all that way. Irreducibly complex. If you went millions of years with no umbilical cord, you die every time. There is no human race. Let's all pray. Lord, don't get me started. Lord, you are intelligent beyond intelligence. You are creative beyond creativity. You are powerful beyond power. Bigger beyond big. Smarter beyond smart. Lord, whatever all that means, that's what you are. And Lord, you have a plan for every person in this room, in the lobby, in the overflow, outside, wherever they're at listening right now. You have a plan for every person. They are not an accident. They are not a result of random choice. They are not a result of the survival of the fittest. You planted them here with a purpose. You love them. And without you, they're lost. They're trying to figure life out, their purpose out. But you say that you love them. You love them so much you die on the cross because we're sinners and the penalty of sin is death. Yes, we're all going to die. But you came, lived 33 years. The Word became flesh. You did miracles that science can't prove. You walked on water. Impossible. You raised dead people. Impossible. You healed the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the mute. A woman with a flow of blood, no doctor could help her. She touched your hem of your garment, and she was healed. And then you died, was buried 3 days, rose from the dead. For our sin, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we'd be saved. Some of y'all today, you need Jesus as your Savior, and you want him today. No matter where you're sitting, please, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, you believe he loves you, has a plan for your life. In the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me, please. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe you are creator, originator, God, that your son Jesus died for my sin, rose from the dead. I believe you have a plan for my life. It's supernatural. It cannot be fathomed. It's unsearchable. But it's all based on your love for me. Jesus, please forgive me. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please create in me a clean heart. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be born all over again. Thank you. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. By standing, you are saying, yes, Jesus is my Savior. Right now, no matter where you're sitting, in the lobby, in Casa Royale, in the room with the big screen, in this auditorium here, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, and today you want him to be your Savior, just stand up to your feet and acknowledge that right now. Acknowledge his love and forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. 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 God loves you. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to surrender your life to him. He's not going to take you. God bless you. If you're in the lobby, if you're in Casa Royale, stand up to your feet. Anybody else in this room right here, stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing, no matter what room you're in the lobby, we want you to follow these directions. In a minute, we're going to ask all you people who are standing to come forward. If you're in Casa Real with the big screen, there are people there who want to minister to you. I'm going to ask you to go forward to that in that room. If you're in the lobby or the main auditorium right now as we welcome you to the family of God, just come forward to the stage right now. Let's give them a hand. Come on down here. Amen. Come on. Amen. Who's the man? Who's the man? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You guys can face this way. Just turn around. Here. Here we go. No, this way. There you go. You had it. This way. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 Come on in. Come on in. Here we go. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
bless you. Are you coming up? God bless you. Amen. God bless you.
When you go outside and you look at the sun, the fog, the plants, the animals, oxygen, water, dirt, God had a plan. It's obvious. It's obvious. He has a plan for your life. He does. He had a plan for all that. He got a plan for your life. And all you got to do is say, God, I'm ready. Your only responsibility is to do what he says. If he says, go to Rubio's today, go. Even if I say, go to In-N-Out, but you go to Rubio's. If he says, go over there, you go over there. Read your Bible, read your Bible. Get up early, pray, pray. Just do what he says. If you do what he says, you'll find yourself in his will. Stuff will happen. He's got blessings for you. That's a fact. They're already there. He doesn't have to figure them out. He's already got them figured out. But they're only where you will end up if you obey him. In other words, he's got blessings over there. If you disobey, you're going to end up over there. Wondering, how come I'm not blessed? Well, you didn't obey God. He would have sent you over there. Don't try to figure out what the blessings are. Just obey him. Okay, it's by faith. That's it. A few things. Get a CD and give it to a friend. It's your neighbors, your teachers, your boss. Most of them believe in evolution. Some of y'all still believe in evolution. Come back. I'm going to try to exercise that out of you. If you got your toes stepped on, please come back. We want to step on them again. But let me explain what I mean by that. If you got your toes stepped on, that means what you believe got challenged, hopefully by the Holy Spirit challenged you, he wants to keep challenging you so you can understand why it's wrong. Please come back. Don't cheat yourself out of God's blessing. And what is the blessing? Of knowing the truth. When you know the truth will set you free. Because let me tell you something. If you think your daddy's an ape, or if you think your daddy is random choice, if you think your daddy is accident, that means your destiny is random choice. My daddy's God. He has a plan. His plan is in his hand. You can't change it. You can't. I'm going to be with him. And as long as I obey, I'm going to walk right down that path. And when I deviate, gently, he will move me back. He's got a plan. Amen. You need to know that. That'll set you free. So when your house burns down, you go, you know what? Want my house. But you know what? God got a plan. God got a plan. When your grandma dies, my grandma died last week. I tried to do the funeral. Couldn't say anything. My mom comes to comfort me, and her mom's dead. And I'm looking at my grandma and my aunts and uncles, and I'm stepping back. And when someone dies in your family, everything changes, right? You step back and you look back, and you think back when you were little, and all these people in your life, all your life, loving you. You didn't even realize they were loving you because you thought it was the way it was. But it's not always going to be. God has a plan. Lord, I pray for these people. I pray that they would let you be God, creator, originator, logos. I pray, Lord, that all of us would see you and what you made. That we would look at the animals in the water, on the land, in the sky, and those animals that can exist in all three. And we look at people, that we look at our hands, our feet, our eyes, our brain, and think, somebody had to make that. There's just too much information in there. There's too much thought, creativity, organizational skills. Lord, it's so obvious. It's so obvious. Lord, set us free. Set us free to see you for who you are, to receive you and follow you for who you are, and not be led astray by this religion called evolution, a suppression of the truth. Lord, these next 8-9 weeks or so, however long we go, I pray you would transform our life. Bless these people who've come forward. Lord, they just walked out of chaos into order. They walked out of random choice into a plan. Lord, we pray you be the planet in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask all y'all who are down here, you could either walk that way into the screens, want to pray with you, or walk that way. Let's give them a hand as they walk out. Walk that way.